Hello, welcome and kumusta. Thank you for joining me. My name is Hao. I am your occupational therapist and welcome to OT Conversations. In this episode, we'll explore real-life stories of transformation through therapies, through care, resilience, compliance. Today's episode features an inspiring story of a young girl, her battle with TMJ pain, and the dedicated intervention that brought her relief. Our story begins with a young girl, no longer than 10, who had been struggling with a discomfort in her jaw. This wasn't any ordinary jaw pain. It was linked to a condition called juvenile rheumatoid arthritis, which can cause inflammation and, in her case, significant issues with her temporomandibular joint, or as many of us know it, the TMJ. This is basically the jaw. It's really painful. Her parents noticed that something wasn't quite right. She complained of pain, and there was a visible deviation in her jaw, especially on the left side. This can be seen whenever she's opening her mouth, and it can get locked every time she eats. So everyday activities like eating or even talking became a challenge for this girl. Obviously, the family were very concerned, and so they sought the help of an occupational therapist. This is where the story then takes a turn. So the girl was seen by an occupational therapist, and let's name her Rubina. With Rubina's expertise and the care, she took on the case, and what she did is, obviously, she did some activity analysis, did some assessments, and looked at the situation. And so she designed a plan to address the girl's TMJ condition. So what does an OT treatment for a TMJ look like, you might ask? Apart from providing the exercise, know that it wasn't just about exercise, though it did play a very important role. That's one part of it. OT intervention was more holistic. Rubina prescribed a jaw exercise program specifically tailored to strengthen and improve the alignment of the TMJ. And if you want to find this out, you will find this out there. There's so many exercise programs out there. But the exercise wasn't all. Rubina also provided the girl and her family some important educational and preventative advice, like advising them to avoid hard or chewy food because it could worsen the condition. Every time there is a pressure or the jaw is subjected into a more stressful activity, and that activity is basically chewing, Rubina advised them to minimize or avoid those hard and chewy food. And to top it off, Rubina also introduced some mindfulness strategies, helping the girl become more aware of her jaw movements so that she can avoid the unnecessary strain. So this approach is called cognitive behavioral. So there's a lot of educational approach on that side. So you're doing it on the cognitive approach. Cognitive behavioral approach, she has provided some restorative intervention or preventative intervention in the form of those exercise as well. So this multifaceted approach became a lifestyle, and there was a true compliance on the side of the girl. The girl took it to heart, and this is the key. So every day, the girl practiced her exercises, and she did it religiously. And her parents also were there to support, making those necessary dietary changes, being mindful of what they would be having, they'd be cooking. Now, here's where the magic of persistence and care comes in. After 6 to 12 months, the girl's dedication started to show some incredible results. And this was found because the girl had to come back to see Rubina after 1 year or during the follow-up clinics. During the follow-up visit with the OT, the girl reported something wonderful. The pain, it wasn't there anymore. The difficulty about eating and speaking, not a problem anymore. Those self-reports are only part of the picture, though. Her progress was actually confirmed by a jaw specialist and an orthodontist who conducted further x-rays. So they found out when they did a follow-up x-ray with this girl, there was no more deviation, and that was amazing. So this once persisted problem had been effectively managed, and the girl and their family, they couldn't have been happier. They were very happy. This story is a testament of the power and impact of occupational therapy in a true clinical impact. It wasn't about exercises or just about education. It was about combining the right interventions in a way that worked for this young girl. And her success speaks volumes. While this case lacked formal measurements of TMJ improvement, because Rubina just made that advice, they did some analysis. Rubina wasn't really a TMJ specialist, but there are some concerns, and those concerns can be addressed by exercises, by education. So what was lacking here were the formal measurements of TMJ improvement, because for an OT, that's something that we can't do or we don't normally do. The thing is, the self-reports and the specialist's confirmation, these are the ones that tells us that the interventions like this can make a difference, especially when combined with preventative approach. It's a proof that even in the absence of fancy tools or technologies, a dedicated occupational therapist who truly cares and who analyzes the problems can make a good restorative treatment intervention, which can lead to profound results. Would you say that this is part of occupational therapy? You'd wonder, won't you? It's a TMJ pain. Ordinarily, an occupational therapist would say, jaw pain, not my concern. That's the natural tendency for a lot of occupational therapists out there. But then these occupational therapists, and if you look and you listen and you use the model of ecology of human performance, for example, there is a concern. That's a problem. What is the problem? TMJ pain. You analyze this problem. What's the problem here? They can't chew. It's a problem. It's a situation. Problem and situation becomes preoccupation. Preoccupation becomes an occupational concern. Because it's an occupational concern, as an occupational therapist, you can think about ways on how to address this occupational concern. How did you do that? How did Rubina do it? Prescribe activities? No, prescribe exercises. So educational approach, use of education. Remember, education, teaching and learning is one of the tools of occupational therapy. Modification and advice, knowing that the cause of that pain is potentially putting a lot of stress when chewing, then advice on the food that needed to be avoided. And then the other thing is empowering the girl. So when you tap onto somebody's volition and will, you encourage the girl to become more proactive and to take that full responsibility in managing her problem. And so it was a sustainable intervention. So that education was sustainable. So in this scenario, to this young girl and her family, it wasn't just the medical journey. It was a journey, and it's something, it's a story of their resilience, their discipline. It's a story of how an occupational therapist and the girl collaborating together. It's a story that occupational therapist, an occupational therapist who's willing to listen and analyze the problems can help. You can explore on ways to help. And like now, I'm justifying to all of you who are listeners on how an occupational therapist fits in this particular case. To Robina, this case was another reminder of how wonderful it is to be an occupational therapist. Thank you for joining us on this episode, guys. If you enjoyed this story, do us a favor, share, subscribe. If you like, you can have conversations with your friends, with your colleagues. Talk about this during tea break. Learn together and grow together. Just remember, anything you do matters and has an outcome. Until next time, bye. If you enjoyed this podcast, talk to your friends and colleagues about it. Like it, subscribe, share, and do what you can to appease whatever algorithm that is at play. Just remember, guys, anything you do matters and has an outcome. Until next time, bye.